Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
With me, the esteemed feature film director and television producer, the man who brought you the hit film, The Jesus Revolution. He has a new project coming out right now. His name, John Irwin. John, welcome.
Thank you.
John began his career as a teenager working for ESPN as a camera operator in his hometown of Birmingham, Alabama. He covered the Crimson Tide games and worked with the ESPN College Football Primetime, Fox NFL, and the NBA. In 2002, he founded a production company with his brother Andrew. The brothers soon were directing videos, producing concerts, and television programs for platinum recording artists. John and Andrew have also produced and directed several documentaries. These include the multi-award-winning 9/11 story, The Cross and the Towers. In 2019, John and Andrew launched Kingdom Studios, where John is the CEO. As I mentioned, John directed the 2023 hit Jesus Revolution and now has a new historical drama series entitled House of David, releasing right now on Amazon Prime Video. John, wow, and congrats on the release of House of David Series 1 launching right now. First-class work. I watched some of it. Feels like an epic.
Thank you.
John, you've been back and forth to Greece doing this David production, but you're here with us in Dallas.
Yes.
How are you feeling today? Probably excited, maybe a little nervous.
Oh, this is a dream come true. It is all a blur right now. There's a lot of conversations, but it's wonderful to be here and see some great friends that have helped promote the work for so many years. And it really, the reason, because the life of David is an epic,
Yes.
And we're trying to do it justice. This is the first global release of my career, day and date. Amazon is putting it out to like 250 million people. We're in complete creative control, and they've given us resources that we've never had before. And that's only happening because of the success of whether it's the movies we've made, like Jesus Revolution, or I Can Only Imagine, or The Chosen becoming the global phenomena that it has become. It's afforded a moment in our industry that is truly unprecedented. And it's because of the power of our unified voice as believers. It really is an amazing time. I've never seen anything like this in the entertainment industry.
David, one of my favorite biblical characters, yeah. Shepherd boy to king. Mm-hmm. And the narrative all the way through, there's so much to glean from mm-hmm. his life. What drew you, I guess, to him? And when you create yeah. something like this, you have to live.
Oh, yeah.
You go in those places.
You live and breathe the story. I think this began for me when I was 16 years old. I went to Israel with my dad. He bought me a camera with money he didn't have. Best gift of my life. And we went to do a documentary. And we stayed in the old city of Jerusalem, just he and I. And I went to King David's tomb. And, wow. And sometimes in life when that spark of curiosity goes off. And then one of the first screenplays I ever wrote was To the Life of David as a movie. I was a very young filmmaker, had a lot of craft I needed to build. And I think that we dismiss sometimes that there's long seasons of preparation needed for seasons of influence. And so every film that we've made, whether it's, sports movies like American Underdog or music movies like like I Can Only Imagine, it was trying to develop the skill set to helm David's story. And I also think it needed to be told as a series because it's such a big story. You can't really fit it into a movie.
It is a big story.
And so this has been a career-long quest for me I honestly thought somebody else would do it and I would be a fan. So it's a dream come true, and I have the audience to thank that I'm able to helm this story. And the other thing that I think drew me to the story is just the honesty of this man's words, like that ripple through time. 3,000 years later, I think one of my favorite bands for King and Country, and Joel and Luke and the guys just
I
did
love
a,
those guys.
They just did
been
a cover
many, many times.
I love them. They just did a cover of the U2 song, Psalm 40, that's 40 years old. And those lyrics are 3,000 years old. And so I think the reason his words transcend is because they're so honest and relatable. And as I've dramatized this story, I've realized this history is written by the victor. This person was a king. We never had to know about Bathsheba. We never had to understand about his failures and the songs that we sing and the honesty of those songs. He never had to write those. And so there's something beautiful about how authentically human he was and his authentic quest for the heart of God, which is the theme, great theme of his life. And that does not mean he lived a perfect life. He made a lot of, his accomplishments were as great as his failures were. And yet he found his way back to God and to the heart of God. And so I love that theme. I relate to that theme. And so it's just a story I've always wanted to tell, and to be able to tell it on this scope and with this kind of epic, kind of canvas to paint on is unbelievable, and it's a dream come true.
Well, when you live in the scriptures, it comes alive like never before, and people mm-hmm. resonate well with David's message because I think of his journey.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the raw, real stuff, you know, and having to get through it. You know, I was thinking about you and this whole piece, and I went back to Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, and I thought, isn't it something how the story of David has been so prominent and strong, regardless, cuts across everything?
You would be hard-pressed to find three words in the English language that would be more globally known than David and Goliath. People know it as the underdog, as the a triumph above all odds, as a destiny story. But people don't know the story; they know the term. And so, Malcolm Gladwell is a writer who's written about it, and yet people don't know the story. And so, my hope is that that people will be curious because they've heard the term David and Goliath, and they'll watch the series, and then it'll draw them to the book that will change their life. I remember when some Amazon executives first read the scripts, they said, man, these scripts are really good. And I said, it's based off a bestseller. You should check it out. You know, it'll change your life. It's free. You can download an app on your phone. You know, and but there's a reason why the Bible continues to be the book that shapes history and will shape your life, you know.
Early on in the series, any special moments, things that stand out to you? Tip the hand here a little bit about what people can expect, I guess.
Well, you know, I think... finding Michael, who plays David, was a real privilege.
I saw that.
He's so good. He's a believer. He has great conviction and a wisdom beyond his years. And I had directed Jonathan Rumi in the film Jesus Revolution, and I think God has been preparing him for this role, and his journey to the role is incredible. And portraying David and Goliath as a filmmaker, it was a dream come true.
You know, when I think of the Christian film industry, I go back to some early discussions with old Tim LaHaye.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim would say, Tim, if we don't get the media and arts piece, if we don't take them back, we're not going to win this thing. And in a lot of ways, he was so right.
Yeah.
And can you address, I mean, just your mindset around that? Well, and a lot of what we've seen way back, pretty cheesy stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to put anyone or anything down, but you get what I'm saying.
You have to, I think I heard Ryan Reynolds say you have to have the courage to do something badly before you can do it well. And so we needed to get better and better at what we did. But I do think that there's a group of filmmakers that we're all encouraging each other, willing each other on to success, and we find ourselves in a moment in an industry that's unprecedented and feels like a return to something.
Yes.
And we're just trying to David said in the Psalms, magnify God with me, let's exalt his name together. We're trying to do that. As a group of filmmakers, and it really is built on a foundation of, like, if you think about Tim LaHaye, you know, first of all, you know, writing the Left Behind books with Jerry Jenkins, whose son is Dallas Jenkins, and you know, I was one of the Christian nerds that would line up at Barnes & Noble and just ready to get the new release Left Behind book, you know, and that was a moment of which we build on, and I just think the timing is now right to tell some of the, I think we've gotten good enough at what we do. You know, a part of life that we miss sometimes is just the seasons of preparation, sometimes the long seasons of preparation. There's 15 years between David being anointed king to a crown on his head. And a lot of times we forget that process. And, you know, like what Steve Martin says, to just try to be undeniably good at what you do. And so I needed the time of development as a filmmaker. And then there's a moment where we have the resources available to us while we can still maintain control. It's just a moment in time that's very special in our industry, and I hope we've done the story justice. I tell people, this is not the sacred source material. This is a path to the sacred source. In the sense, this is a love letter to the source material. It's a TV show. But my hope is that people will watch the show, love it, get invested in the characters, and then go to the book that will change their life. And I think if you haven't read the Bible ever, or if you haven't read it in a long time, of course, the place to start is the Gospel of John. But secondarily to that, if you want to just relate to words of whatever you're going through, the Psalms of David are a great place to start. There's only about 15% of them that are like, praise God, my life is great. The rest of them are like, I am struggling, I am afraid, I'm angry, I'm depressed, I've lost my way, I'm repenting. So they're just words that are so relatable. And what I've found is they've taken on enriched and new meaning as I've made the series, because now you see the life lived that led to the words that we read. And so I hope that people will take that journey with me. And I hope that I'm first and foremost an entertainer. That's what I do. That's my job. And I hope that you're entertained by the series. I've made a show that I would be proud to gather my whole family around. My youngest is 8. And that we can watch together. And I hope that it'll spark curiosity again.
I know we're all going to love it. You know, back through the years, I've had conversations with Randall Wallace, Michael Landon Jr., and some others. And
Randall's one of the great friends and mentors in my life. And what a great writer and great, great filmmaker.
You know, in conversation about films like Braveheart, Secretariat, Moore, I asked Randall, where do you start? How do you build that? And he said, Tim, it goes back to the hearts of men, mm-hmm. the cry of their soul. It's what mm-hmm. they're hungry for. That's what resonates and jumps off the screen. Mm-hmm. That's why people go.
That's right.
You know, I'll come back to you for a moment and here mm-hmm. in this. What is it again? Where is it? What's happening?
You know, I think a lot about this, and certainly a line like Randall, when he writes the words, you know, they are written on our souls. Every man dies, not every man lives.
Yes.
You know, it really talks about the longing that is so organic to our souls, you know, and I think David, in terms of genre, the genre that we're in, is that classic hero's journey. In many ways, David, the rise and ascent of David, is the origin of the origin stories, right? And so when you watch a lot of stuff that I love, Luke Skywalker, Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
even Harry Potter, you know, they have their roots, I think, in many ways, in the boy chosen to be king, David. And I've wondered why George Lucas leaned on a book called Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell that talked about these mythological archetypes. And I think that I've wondered, I've thought a lot, especially filming in Greece, why do we need these stories? Because we're wired for a savior. Like, we need a savior. And I think we all feel like we have a destiny and we have a role to play in something that's bigger than we are. And that is why we watch Star Wars. And that's why we watch Lord of the Rings. And ultimately, that's why those are the same themes and characters that drive the story of David. So if you love those stories, that's the genre that we're in. And I've thought a lot about why we need them. And it is about the basic yearnings of our soul, I think, is the reason we're drawn to these stories.
It is. It's the cry of the soul.
Yeah, cry of the soul. Great, great. John, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to cry of the soul. I'm writing that down.
People are going to be asking, is it biblically accurate?
Yeah.
And, you know, critics are going to come out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Take us into how you built it and the great creativity, yeah. et cetera, and any freedom or what have you that you
brought
to the film.
Well, you know, season one, which is 8 hours of television, is based off 3 chapters of the Bible, all of which you could read in about 15 minutes. So we have the events, but we don't have the lives lived and the stories to justify those events. And so a television show is an exploration. Think of it as commentary. Whenever you read biblical commentary, I think this is a visual form of biblical commentary. It's us wrestling with the material and saying, you know, what storylines would justify these events. And it's done with great reverence and awe of the material. It's great when we're able to actually dramatize, like the great Stephen Lang from Avatar and Tombstone and Gettysburg plays the prophet Samuel. And to see him take actual words of scripture of, you know, To obey is better than sacrifice when he confronts Saul in the end of the first episode. It is unbelievable. But there's lots that we don't have. And I've adapted, this will be my 9th adaptation of a true story in a row, if you count the documentaries. And so I love adapting true stories. The difference is I can call Kurt and Brenda Warner when I do American Underdog and say, where were you in 1994 or whatever? You know, I can't do that. So you're left with, I like this term that the documentary filmmaker Ken Burns calls emotional archaeology. And so what I want everyone to know is that this is not the sacred source material. This is a love letter to Scripture. This is a, and we are doing an entertaining TV show with great reverence and awe, and we are in total creative control of the material.
Love it.
And the point is to get people talking about the material, and then to get people in. I don't know, for me, you know, my parents did this, and they kind of forced it on, but I'm so glad they did, and they did it really well. I had a working knowledge of Scripture. I read the Bible cover to cover. I memorized some of it, still there, Philippians and 2 Timothy and James, and that my dad was a big part of that. My generation, you know, my kids are this kind of this first digital native generation, and it is hard. I feel constantly like, there's this line in the movie Jerry Maguire where Tom Cruise says, you see this jacket, you want it? I don't need it because I'm cloaked in failure. Like, I feel that way as a dad, trying to get my kids aware of or interested in the Bible at all. And the statistics on biblical illiteracy are concerning, even within the context of Christianity, let alone, you know, staggering is the word. So the only way I know to deal with that is to, I like where Paul says of David in Acts that he served the purposes of God in his generation. So it's like you try to take what's eternal and unchanging and give it to your time. And the intersection of those two things is your job. And I think you use modern methods to do it. And in our time, you know, this symphony of art that we call mass entertainment is the most powerful method of storytelling ever invented. And so I think that it's our job to try to harness it. When you read chapter and you just, the simple thing of thinking the characters in chapter 3 don't know what's going to happen in chapter 4, you know, they were living it and it was all happening at, you know, that's just that, to think these were real people dealing with all the, like one of the questions that came up with the trailer, which there's thousands of comments on the trailer, is was David afraid? Because you read the words and he just goes out and very confidently says, I'm going to kill you, giant.
And says that he ran towards him.
He ran towards him, which is in our show.
Yeah.
But that first step onto the field of battle, I can assure you in dramatizing it. Martin, who's in the Mortal Kombat films, a wonderful guy, he's 6'8", and then we digitally make him over 10 feet tall. But even just Martin with 100 extras behind him, not the 100,000 that there really were and that we add digitally, was terrifying. So I can guarantee you that David had to confront his fear to step out on that battlefield. And I think that, so when you dramatize things, you learn things like that. And then you learn that, okay, conviction and courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the presence of something that you're passionate about that is beyond your fear, that you can step beyond your fear. And if you're a little more passionate about your conviction than you are about what you're afraid of, you can move forward. And so we deal with the fact that David would have been terrified, but he also would have ran at that giant despite his fear. And that's what you learn when you dramatize these events. And it's enlightening.
John, I want to end this way. The story goes on.
Yes.
When I think about you, I think about you growing up. I remember us having a conversation with your brother, Andrew.
Yes, absolutely.
And what God had done with two boys.
Yeah.
Growing up in a hurricane, if you will.
Yeah.
And God has done something. You know that?
Yeah.
And somehow through all this stuff, it goes on. And you're missional.
Yeah.
Because those seeds were planted early.
Uh-huh.
And God's doing something. So when people encounter this series and the heart that's in you, what do you hope they walk away with?
I find it, you know, I think there's a privilege to entertaining people. And that is I have to always remember, that is my primary job, is to entertain you. And life is hard. There's very few things you can watch with your family. And it's a wonderful thing to go into a theater or to watch your television and just to be swept away into a story. So I want to make the most entertaining content I can that your family will love and can watch together. But beyond that, I want to entertain on purpose. And like when Randall Wallace writes the line, every man dies, not every man lives. That's a life-changing line in a great movie called Braveheart. And so that primarily is my task. But we are in this point where we can give the great stories, the biblical stories, to our time. And I hope people enjoy them, and I hope people can open the book again that will change their life. I know this story has brought me back in some profound ways to the passion of my faith, and I hope that it does the same, you know, for other people, and I hope they love it, and we're privileged to make it, and I really believe this is just the beginning, because we are in a moment in time in Hollywood that I never thought would happen, and that I'm privileged to be a small part of, and it's because of the audience's support of the work. So check it out.
It's go time. John, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Thank you so much for joining.
Great. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.